Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
As voice of Chiefs Kingdom, he's seen the lowest of lows and the highest of highs.
You can doubt the Chiefs. You can dislike the Chiefs. Expect the Chiefs. You're going to have to deal with the Chiefs.
Your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. Here's Mitch Holthus with CDOT on The Drive.
Mitch, I say this as an absolute compliment to you. You got a different bounce in your step this week. I could tell that those three games in those 11 days, I could tell they wore you down a little bit. That you needed the bye week too. But you had a bye week. You had a great new year. You guys had your fourth preseason game. You could kind of work out some of the kinks with the Chiefs radio network. You got to just sit back in wild card weekend. And
sit on a tarmac in a plane for 3 hours. And when the linemen start to get restless, right, that's like water buffalo. They're coming back to the back of the plane where we're at, and it's like the guys are restless. No, it was awesome, actually. And this is why I talked to you about it in October. I said it in November, mentioned it in December. To get this by is potentially enormous. But yeah, even Mitchie the kid, because I do like 20 shows a week. Well, a lot of that was condensed. It was 3 and 11 days, and everybody wanted time off for the holidays. So immediately after the Texan game on Saturday the 21st, I just jumped right into the pool and started swimming, recording things for the next week because there was no next week. And then you had to have it all done by Monday night. After the Kingdom show Monday night, it was like grind it out because you're getting on a plane Tuesday to go to Pittsburgh. So not saying woe is me, but thanks for being perceptive because, yeah, it was the kid was wiped out.
Right now, we're joined by Mitch Holthus, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. His appearance on the show is presented by Silverstein Eye Center. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care. And also by GEHA. They're a proud partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's just start with this. What have you been doing for the last 20-something days or so? What is it like for you when, you know, you're so much in a routine? You know, every week is kind of the same. Things move around a little bit, but for the most part, you know what your responsibilities are. I feel like for the last 10 days, you could just kind of hang out.
Yes and no. I'm a little bit like the team has been, because what I said was this back, and I did a minute with Mitch on it during the bye week, like, is this too early for the bye week? Well, trying to get the playoff bye was huge because the team now can basically get introspective, and you've got guys on this team that were not at training camp, right? Samaje Perine, D-Hop, we can go right down the line, Juju. But now you're trying to build up for the playoffs without the immediate urgency of tyranny of the urgent. Same thing with me. So what was I doing? I was spending time like researching our own team, like pluses and minuses. I'm going to get into some of this stuff. In fact, it led to a podcast I did with Matt McMullen last week that people can find on the Chiefs app, or they can go to the Chiefs YouTube channel and find it. But what I think is that I said E squared equals question mark. And me digging in, being introspective, was this team is going to go into the playoffs, this Chiefs team, where like 286 playoff wins. And only 27 guys were on the roster. About half the roster was there in 2022 to start that year. But those 27 have been in some ways unequaled in NFL history in their early playoff experience. For example, the defensive backs. Listen to this one, Cedar. You like numbers. 39-2 in the playoffs. The DBs are Justin Reeds as a Houston Texan. And one of those was to the Chiefs as a Houston Texan. Let me give you another one. The linebackers are 21-3. Two of the three losses. One is a Joshua Uche loss with the Patriots. Another one is a Tranquil loss with the Chargers. The offensive line is 44-6. Two of those are Joe Tooney's as a Patriot. Another one is Juwan Taylor's as a Jaguar to the Chiefs. So the first E in this discussion is the fact that you have all of this young playoff experience And the Chiefs last year were the youngest team in the NFL to win the back-to-back Super Bowls of any of the back-to-back champions. They were the youngest team. This team has just a lot of unusual playoff successful experience earlier in their career.
Do you want to get the rest versus rust argument out of the way?
Yeah,
right,
let's
now?
Do it.
Let's just go and get it out of the way.
Let's
now,
go.
I will present the other side of it because I think I know what side you're on. Now, this does worry me a little bit, and I understand and acknowledge the differences in it. I just watched the college football playoff. For the teams that had the bye, they were at a disadvantage early in the game. In the first quarter of the game, those teams were outscored 49-10 in the first half. Now, some of them still won, but I think you follow it here. What my fear would be, my worst case scenario would be, Houston, who played last week, and we've seen the Chiefs over the last 4 years, sometimes they like to get down early. I can't explain why it happens, but they
sometimes,
like to.
But sometimes.
This team loves to be down 10-0 after the first two possessions.
Three
they
Super
love
Bowls
do
down 10.
That you get down 10-0, you get down 14-3, and the incredible timing that you had built up over the last month of games, you're just a little bit off because you've been so stagnant for the last 3 weeks or so. That would be my slight worry. Now, I would say there are a lot of positives for what happened. We can get to those, but to me, that is the argument for the rust factor heading into Sunday or Saturday's game against Houston.
We're the argument. And those are decent points, good points, and it's actually been proven throughout the NFL over time, but here's where I'm going to go different on you. Now, to your point, Patrick Mahomes will have the longest layoff in NFL history for a quarterback from his last regular season action to his first playoff game. The previous was Warren Moon in 1993, and he lost to the Chiefs that year in the game in Houston. It's the, you know, Buddy Ryan getting the shave from Keith Cash. So you've got that history. But I will tell you, since the league has gone to 17 games, and the fact that the Kansas City Chiefs, for some of this roster, has played six seasons in five, those young guys that I mentioned, think about how many playoff games. They've played seven playoff games added to a 17-17-17. So that's 51. That's 58 games they have played in a three-year span. And those have been high-stress games against the hardest schedule in the National Football League. So my point to you is to use the college football playoff argument is worthy one, but they didn't play 17 games. And none of those teams played 58 games in 3 years. This team, for it to back up mentally and emotionally, I've seen what happens to this team. If you think I'm refreshed, so is Andy Reid. So is Patrick Mahomes. So is Travis Kelce. So is Justin Reed. So is Chris Jones. And if that leads to a slow start, I don't think it will last long. I don't think this is a team that wants to get down 24-7 to this Houston team like it did in 2019. But I'm telling you, the best chance this team has for a historic three-peat, which would transcend NFL history, it would be American sport history, is the fact that they got this bye in these 23 days to get ready for this push.
I do want to ask you specifically about this team, but I've got a quick question to ask you about your career. That Houston game that you just referenced, I bet if you ask 50 broadcasters, that would probably be their number one game. You've called like 10 games that are more iconic than that throughout the course of this run. I remember this feeling like it just happened. You know, sometimes some analytic people would say that momentum doesn't exist. Well, I would say then you weren't at the wild card game with Andrew Luck. You also weren't at that divisional game against Houston. Both times I remember feeling it. You could feel was the energy in the crowd. You could just feel the emotion of everything. What is it like to be in the middle of that where you might not know it exactly at the time, but you were witnessing something really, really special that's about to happen?
And going into that moment with some PTSD from what you said about the Colts loss in 2013 or the other past losses. I just remember thinking, there's this kind of feeling of shock, but I also thought, man, I've been through this. And I also know Andy Reid. And I also know that this team is different. They're just different. And I said it on the air. You can go back and find it in the archives. They just need a spark. Because if you just light the firecracker, they might blow up the fireworks stand. And that's what they did. And it was Mecole Hardman's 58-yard kickoff return. That just lit the fuse to a quick touchdown because that team could score quickly. Score quick, blow up the kick return, get the fumble on the kick return. Darwin Thompson, go ahead and run it in the end zone. You have to stand and wait And then defend the fake punt. It's an avalanche. Houston panics. It's crazy.
I still can't believe they went for the fake punt. Like, I don't understand why you would be so aggressive in that moment. Then you had a fourth and goal to kind of eliminate Kansas City, and then you chose to kick the field goal. Like, you were hyper-conservative, and then you're ultra-aggressive. Everything felt so helter-skelter for that 20-minute stretch.
I've seen that since 2019, CDOT. I have seen that in Chiefs opponents. And don't take it as arrogance or hubris. They lose their mind. Based on my research of thinking in trends of what they might do at a certain point, it's like they're going off the what's Atlanta doing not kicking field goals? They probably win that game like 13-12 or whatever by one. They're going for fourth down in the red zone because they kind of lose their mind. I was talking to Speck about it earlier today. You know who missed the block on the fake punt?
Justin Reed.
So it's like we were talking about, I know he knows every second of that play, but he also has got a couple Super Bowl rings and he wants this one. So does D-Hop, because I did a minute with Mitch on this last week. D-Hop's played 13 years. He's never won a divisional playoff game. Two wild card wins. That's all he's got. And so this game is gigantic for D-Hop, not just because it's his old team. The other one, it's Kareem Hunt. So that was the second my E on the podcast that Matt and I talked about, was the experience, unusual youth with experience of winning in the playoffs. The second is this burst of energy that's coming from the outside in, meaning D-Hop. The second is Kareem Hunt, dismissed from the team before all the fun started. He didn't get to even play in the AFC Championship game in 18. He's gone. So he missed, and I've talked to him personally about it, 19, 20, 20, all the way down. He gets another chance that no one thought he would ever have. He's never won a divisional playoff game. He's won one wild card game. Hollywood Brown never won a divisional playoff game. He's won one wild card game. To those three guys who have been in the league 13, 8, and 6 years, this game is gigantic.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Mitch Holtz, his voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. His appearances are presented by Silverstein Eye Center, also by GEHA, proud partners of the Kansas City Chiefs. So last week, I gave two things that I feel really good about heading into the divisional round. Number one was Hollywood Brown. I don't think any of us knew exactly what it was going to look like whenever he got there. Hollywood didn't look like a player that had missed a beat. That's kind of what I expected him to be whenever he was originally signed this offseason. The second thing for me is you and I had this conversation, I think it was after the Buffalo loss, about the pass rush and the defense and why it was taking a little bit of a step back. Man, it feels like they fixed all of those problems over the last month. There is two forms of this defense, pre-Charles Aminihu coming back and now having him there, and how much it's changed the secondary, how much it's opened things up for George Karlaftis. So heading into Saturday's game against Houston, I feel really good about their offense because I think this is the greatest number of weapons they've had since losing Tyreek Hill. When you look at, you got D-Hop, Hollywood, Xavier Worthy's playing really well. You got two capable tight ends. Isaiah Pacheco has some time to rest and recover. You gave that same thing to Kareem Hunt, who had a lot of carries throughout the course of the season. This is as many weapons as they've had. And defensively, you got four or five guys that are getting after the quarterback at a really high level.
Well, we know D-Hop changed the team from a standpoint of Pat. Before D-Hop had 6 touchdowns, 8 picks, and since, 20 touchdowns, 3 picks? So we know he changed the team. But Hollywood brought in that burst of adrenaline, and who really benefited from it in the review of when I've watched video and reviewed these games, Xavier Worthy. Because now Worthy not only has somebody else to run the 4x100 relay with him, he's got somebody to take the heat off, and he doesn't have to feel like, man, I've got to get some big plays here and make this third down play. D-Hop can do it. Juju can do it. We know Kels can do it in his sleep. We've seen Noah Gray raise his game up. Kareem Hunt is not going backwards. He's made a big impact on this team because you have 2nd and 6 and 2nd and 5. You don't have 2nd and 12 or 2nd and 10. That's been huge for this team. So I'm with you. I've just seen elevation of other guys. Now the protection issue is going to be paramount here. Houston decimated the Chargers yesterday. The Chargers have 3 first-round picks on that offensive line. After that play where C.J. Stroud kind of turned the game on his off-schedule big-time play, it transferred over the defense. And they stoned the run. And we can talk about Will Anderson Jr. and Danielle Hunter, and we should. They led the whole team led the league in pressures during the regular season. They were 4th in sacks. But the Danico Autrys of the world, the rest of those guys on the defensive front just destroyed the Chargers in the second half of that game. Sands the one play to Ladd McConkey. That's it. Otherwise, you're going to have to protect and work in the run game and be balanced against this team because they're really fast. Houston's super fast on the defensive front.
If you had to look inside your crystal ball, what do you think they're going to do at left tackle? Are they going to continue with Joe Tooney? Are they going to play DJ Humphreys? I would go with Joe Tooney. You're going up against a pretty experienced pass rush, and this is the same offensive line that went up against them a couple of weeks ago. So you keep that same continuity, guys who have played together for the final month of the season. I would start Joe Tooney. I think that's the biggest question that we all have heading into this game.
Yeah, and that's the biggest question. You only gave up one sack with Joe there in the game against Houston back on December the 21st, and that was from a linebacker on a blitz. That was in the middle. But I also know you got to be ready for both in this game, too. I know that sounds crazy, but Caliendo has done such a good job. That's the other piece of this, that you may see both Humphreys and both Tooney in this game at left tackle. Don't take away coach's ingenuity here, and he's got some extra time to look at this stuff. So I'm looking in the crystal ball. I'm seeing murkiness. I'm seeing like Eric Fisher, and I'm seeing Orlando Brown Jr., and I'm seeing these Donovan Smith, the left tackles that have won Super Bowls for the Chiefs. And it could be a combo. It could be comprehensive. I know I'm not skirting your question. I'm just telling you what's real, that it may not be just one or the other in this game. It could be both.
I also gave the two things that I'm sort of worried about heading into the postseason. Let's just start with the first thing. For the last couple of years, I haven't had any worry about Harrison Butker and a 47-yard field goal. If the Chiefs have to kick a 47-yard field goal, I feel very confident they're going to make it. I'm still pretty confident, but there is that kind of back of my mind. He's looked a little bit different since the injury, since he's come back. He missed that extra point. There was another one in the Christmas Day game after the Xavier Worthy penalty. He missed that one. He missed the kick against the Broncos. Something just feels a little bit different since Harrison Butker has come back. Danen says he's not worried about it. He was on Fesco in the morning. Where are you at with Harrison Butker heading into the postseason?
I'm not worried about it. The 51-yarder against Denver, I thought, man, this is a reach to try to kick it because the conditions, even though it wasn't snowy, or the air's light there, it's weird to kick in December. I just don't worry about it. The guy's made so many big kicks when he's been hurt. Here again, you get time for Harrison Butker to rest up. So the fact that he has been able to not grind it out this week and ask him to make a 55-yarder in the snow to win a game is a big deal. Now you can ask him to do it this week. You didn't have to ask him to do it last week and this week. So I think even mentally and emotionally for him, as well as physically, I'm with Danen. I don't worry about it a bit.
If we were playing Family Feud last year, and it was, you know, what Chiefs player is going to benefit most from the extra rest? Travis Kelce was the number one answer
number
on the
one.
Board, and he had a phenomenal postseason. I feel like this year that player could be Isaiah Pacheco. I'm not sure if he's been healthy at any point in the last 3 months. He had surgery for a broken fibula. He maybe came back a little sooner just because he wants to get out there, wants to play, and he hasn't really been himself, hasn't had that same birth. Him now having an ability to rehab and get 3 weeks off at this stretch in the season, I think there's a chance that we see a very different Isaiah Pacheco than we've seen since, I don't know, week two, week three of the season.
And I'm going to tag that with two things that I think are part of this discussion with Pop Pacheco. Is one, he goes back to that youthful, incredible playoff experience. He's part of that. He's 7-0 in the playoffs. Two, he can go in mentally realizing I don't have to touch it 25 times. The tag team that they have set up with him and Kareem Hunt and Samaje Perine has been a big reason they got the bye. Because we can look at wide receiver and we can look at a lot of different variables. But the fact that became a two-headed monster and then Pop makes it a three-headed monster, Pacheco gives them the explosive run capability. He can pop a 40-yard run with Kareem Hunt, I've told you, 2nd and 4 is a norm. Perine, we've seen him do unusual things, not just on third down, but when you lie flat on your back and Mahomes throws you the ball and you still catch it. And the fact that he also has playoff experience, positive playoff experience, is a big factor that Pacheco doesn't have to feel like mentally, man, I got to do this or it's not going to get done. He knows he's got help. Those three are working together, and those three carry a big ball bat into this deal.
I know you won't pat yourself on the back, so I'll do it. You have been very, very consistent about Justin Herbert over the last 4 years, and you haven't really been caught up in some of the numbers that Herbert has, and he's put up some big numbers. He's thrown for 5,000 yards, 40 touchdowns. He has done a lot of those things. You've talked about it a little bit with C.J. Stroud, his ability to make off-script plays, and there's just something a little bit different with C.J. Stroud. He has it. You maybe can't quantify what it is, but I saw it at Ohio State, and I've seen it his first couple of years in Houston. Whatever that is that we can't explain, I don't know if Justin Herbert has it. You are too advanced in your career to let your team lose the way that they just lost on Saturday. You were not close for the last 25 minutes of the game. You threw 3 interceptions with 500 passes. You threw 4 interceptions with 30 passes on Saturday. I'm officially out on Justin Herbert.
41-40 in 5 years. 41-40. That translates to 9-8 or 8-9. And no playoff wins in 5 years. Look at what Patrick did. Take 18, his first year as a starter. That's 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. Take Patrick from 18 to 22. That's your apples-to-apples comparison. What Pat did in those 5 seasons, what Herbert has done. Talented player, but he's 41-40, 0-2 in the playoffs. Now, let's go to Stroud. We know there's Patrick, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, obvious. I don't know who those guys are in the NFC. But the young guns that everybody's looking for Mahomes. They have been looking for Mahomes since the end of 2018. Every team. I'm not saying Stroud is Mahomes, but of the next young guns, he and Jaden Daniels, to me, are set apart. A couple things. That play that Stroud made on the bad snap where it looks like, and they're in trouble at that point. I mean, the Chargers have control of that game. Now you're going to have a bad snap. You either fumble it and give them a short field, or you're going to give them the ball and a chance to take an additional lead or more add to the lead. He makes a Mahomesian play. Not only does he recover it and prevent disaster, he's a backbreaker by finding the Iowa State kid for the big play. That turned that game 180 degrees. There are very few quarterbacks who can make that play. What Daniels did is drive in a playoff game, didn't need a touchdown. Usually the litmus test is 75 or 80-yard drive, down 4, less than 4 minutes. Who can do that? Patrick's done it over and over and over and over again in the playoffs. We've seen him do it. So Daniels did that yesterday, field goal, not a touchdown, but nonetheless, that's a big drive to win that game. But Stroud, because of his quick release, the ball comes out so fast, and he can make an off-schedule play and be accurate on his throws. Nobody's Patrick. Nobody's Patrick. Patrick can change his arm angle and make a Salvador Perez throw to second base at the point of the bag. That's what Dana and I give the analogy. It's a Salvador Perez throw to second. Pat can do that from above his head, at his shoulder, under his elbow. He can do all that. Stroud's the ball's out so fast. It's lightning fast, and he can throw it with accuracy. To me, set Stroud apart, who already has 2 playoff wins. Now, last year, he was the youngest quarterback in NFL history to win a playoff game. Now he's got 2 in 2 years. Of all these gaggle of guys that everybody wants to make the next Mahomes, he's the next C.J. Stroud. And I think he's got a chance to be really, really good over time. He's good right now.
I just hate that, and we were talking about this earlier, Rob and I, that everything that we're saying about Herbert now entering his 6th, 7th season as a starter, we were saying the same things heading into his 2nd or 3rd season. Like at some point, either the conversation has to evolve and develop, or we just have to acknowledge, hey, this is who you are. And again, that it factor that we're talking about, I just don't necessarily see it with Justin Herbert. And the fact that we have done this now with different coaches and different offensive coordinators, and it feels like we keep coming to the same spot, is just a little frustrating. Last thing here, and I'll get you out of here with this. You just saw this team a month ago come into Arrowhead. What stands out to you when you look at the Houston Texans? You mentioned C.J. Stroud. You mentioned the defense. I think the Chiefs are going to win this game, but you're looking at a team that has a top pass rush, a team that might have the best corner in the National Football League in Derek Stingley. There are a lot of things on this Houston Texans team. What stands out to you?
Second best corner might be Lassiter. That play he made the other day is as good a play as you'll see a corner make. That would look like a young D-Hop playing corner. He snatches the ball in the interception in his hands with his arms extended and was incredible on coverage. I think Lassiter is a blossoming star. Stingley's very aggressive. And as a secondary, they were 2nd in the league only to the Vikings in the terms and numbers of interceptions, number 1 in the AFC. What stands out is they're an explosive defense. They're fast and explosive, and they pounced on the Chargers. They pounced on Herbert. They made incredibly athletic plays defensively that you don't see very often. So, for the Chiefs, be the Chiefs. But even if you're a receiver, you're Xavier Worthy, and you're Juju, or you're Justin Watson, and you're down the field at 20 yards, life is only beginning. Because these cats will come in and rip your flesh. And you have got to run your routes precisely. You have got to protect, right? That 1 second of protection that Pat needs. Pat will get it there, but run your routes precisely. And be very tough when you catch the football. Because these dudes, if they don't pick it, are trying to swat it or rip it. They live off that. And this is, to me, the most comprehensive secondary. Because they get Elshire back. They did not have Elshire in the game on December the 21st. And he's a hitman, right? He is what he is. But now you have him playing safety. And so he's roaming around with all these other athletic DBs. Eric Murray, former Chief, had the pick six. They're just an opportunistic, fast, athletic, pick-you-apart secondary to me that I think is comprehensive, maybe the best in the league.
That is Mitch Holtz joining us on the show today. His appearance on the show is presented by Silverstein Eye Center. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Center. Also by GEHA, they are proud partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch, I hope we do this two or three more times. That means you're going back to New Orleans.
Let's go. Tonight, Lee's Summit East. We've had a little switch in gears here, but aren't we into equality?
Of course.
Have you been on players only yet with Dana?
I haven't been on there.
How about, because only players can be players,
yeah,
right? It's like, whoa. Are we, feels like discrimination to me. Players only. Like you and I can't get on that show. Dana Hughes will be on the Chiefs Kingdom tonight.
Oh, my goodness.
We're opening the doors to all. And so, but we can't, you and I can't, Rob can't get on it. I don't think probably Fesco's been on it. Can't get on players only. That's only players playing, right? But, oh, Dana will be on the show tonight. It'll be fun. We'll have a blast.
I just want you to keep Sean Barber off of your show. That's all I want you to do.
Barbershop.
Keep Barbershop
no,
off.
No, man, Barbershop's the greatest. I got his rookie card. Man, Spider, number four. He wore number four at Richmond. He was ahead of his time. He's a genius. He's Spider-Man, Sean Barber. There's no equal.
That is Mitch Holtz joining us in studio. Coming up on the other side, I saw something I've never seen before in the wild card round. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right. Now, maybe you guys can think of an instance in which this happened. I cannot think of a time that this had happened, but maybe. I just don't remember. 913-586-7965. So, yesterday, I'm watching the game with Sean Barber. We're sitting there, we're talking, we're having a good time. It was like during a commercial break, so you're kind of paying attention, but you're kind of not paying attention. And out of the corner of my eye, I see Josh Allen talking to the official. Now, you might be wondering, why is this a big deal? Why are you talking about this on my drive home? It was how and where he was talking to the official. Josh Allen is sitting on the bench. Sitting on the bench. And the official is over on the Buffalo sideline talking to the quarterback of the home team. It just looked and felt off. I'm not saying that officials and players can't have conversations. Of course they can. They usually happen on the field of play. You don't see umpires go into the dugout and are talking to the starting pitcher about the strike zone. We would all think that's odd. You don't see a basketball official sit on the sideline and now he's sitting next to Bill Self and they're breaking things down, or he's sitting next to LeBron James or whomever NBA superstar. Can you guys tell me a reason why an NFL official would leave the field of play to go over to a sideline to discuss anything with the player? And then when Josh Allen is asked about it, because of course, why would we not ask you? Something unusual happened in the game. This is what Josh Allen had to say about this interaction.
When the ref came over to talk to you, like all the way to the bench, what was he saying? What was going on?
Oh, was that after I wasn't happy with what was going on, and I was yelling a little bit, and he just said, don't be yelling. So, my bad. Sorry to Bill.
Did he apologize for
I won't say anything about that.
Josh Allen told about four lies in that 20-second clip. He then, anytime you get asked a straightforward question and then you re-ask the question like you didn't hear, it's like, oh, you mean the only time in the game in which the official came over to the bench to talk to you. Why would you leave the field of play to do this? Text line, help me out here. Am I crazy? Because I've been around long enough to know that if there was a video of Patrick Mahomes sitting on the Chiefs sideline and there is an NFL official that comes over there to talk to Patrick Mahomes, and when he then leaves the Bills area, he pats Josh Allen on the helmet. I'm sitting there, I can't believe it. I'm talking to Barbershop, who played in the NFL multiple teams. I've never seen that before. I could not believe what I was watching during the playoffs. I'm serious. I am not joking. I am not being hyperbolic. I don't think that official should be allowed to referee the rest of the playoffs. I've never seen anything like that before. I don't want just Josh Allen's side of the story. I want his side of the story too. What made you leave the field of play to go discuss something with the player? For a league that tells me integrity is paramount, how can you have this happen on national TV in front of 20 million people with one of the five most important players in the National Football League? That doesn't look funny or odd to anybody, because it looked to me like he was going over there to apologize for missing a call. Because if you remember, there was a holding call that didn't happen in the end zone that I actually think was a holding call. Josh Allen was mad about it. And then the next dead period, the official went over there to apologize to him for it and say, my bad. You can't do that. It's one thing if this had happened on the field. That's where you're supposed to have these conversations with the official, on the field. And if he's upset at how you're communicating with him, the place is to not to go over to Josh Allen's area to discuss it with them. The place is to do it when he gets back on the field. There's commercial breaks. We've all been to a football game before. There's players on the field during the commercial break. If you got something to say to Josh Allen, go up to him and tell him, hey, I don't like the way you were talking to me. Don't do it again, or I'm going to hit you with the penalty, or whatever officials have to say. This is highly inappropriate. You should not be able to do this. That official, Bill Vinovich, should not be allowed to referee the rest of the... You have to have a standard. And this whole thing felt off. It looked off. And again, if this was Patrick Mahomes, if this was the quarterback of the Chiefs, who everybody thinks get favorable calls and is the NFL darling and the NFL is rigged and they want him to win and they won't call anything on Mahomes, if there was a video of Mahomes and a referee having that level of interaction, the internet would break. It would crash, is what would happen. You cannot do that. That is unacceptable. Rob, did you notice the same thing? Am I the only one that saw this? Text line 913-586-7965. This is crazy that this happened.
It was one of the weirder things. And I think what made it, at first I didn't think it was weird. And I think I felt that way because on the broadcast, Nance and Romo acted like this is normal. Like, I think Romo made a joke like, oh, he's clearly having a conversation with Josh about that no holding call in the end zone. And Nance is like, yep, looks like they're having a quick conversation about it. And Bill's back to the field. Like, everyone was like, oh, they act like that was normal. And then the more and more I thought about it, the more and more I thought, I have never, ever, ever seen that before, ever, in the National Football League. I have never seen, whether it be a coach, whether it be a player, whatever, they come over to on your sideline, on your bench, and talk to you. It's one thing like, you know, like a coach is, you know, in the huddle, and I kind of pull them out. Hey, coach, here's how, you know, it's going to be this. Here's the situation. But they went onto the bench, sought out Josh Allen, and then Josh Allen's story is weird. Like, he went down there. He came all the way over to me to tell me to stop being mean to the refs. It's so odd.
I'll play it one more time. Fellas, we've all been caught in a lie before. Homegirl confronts you. Hey, who are you over there talking to? Tell me that he didn't respond like somebody is lying. He repeats the question. He acts like he had no clue what you were talking about. Like, oh, yeah. He gives a BS answer and then doesn't want to give you any more details. Fellas, we've all been caught in a lie like this before.
on when the ref came over to talk to you, like all the way to the bench? What was he saying? What was going on?
Was that after? I wasn't happy with what was going on, and I was yelling a little bit, and he just said, "Don't be yelling." So, my bad. Sorry to Bill.
Did he apologize?
I won't say anything about that.
Okay. All right. The NFL's amazing. I'm serious. It's amazing. The things that can happen in a football game and we just look past, it could never, if that happened in the NBA, there'd be a federal investigation on what happened in the NBA. You've never seen a baseball umpire go over there and start talking to the pitcher about the strike zone. This is crazy to me. I know I'm not crazy in thinking that this is off. All right, coming up on the other side, let's talk about Mike Tomlin. Let's talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers. If I was the Steelers, I would trade Mike Tomlin. I think their relationship has come to a close, and I think it's time for them to go in opposite directions. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
There's actually a lot happening in the NFL. We have seen 5 wild card games so far. 4 of them were not really worth your time. Last night was actually very fun between the Commanders and the Buccaneers. We had a very thrilling ending, and we have coming up later today what I think could possibly be the best game of Wild Card Weekend. We have the Vikings playing the Rams. That game has been moved to Glendale, Arizona, with everything that is going on in Los Angeles. Certainly thoughts and prayers to everybody who has been affected by the wildfires in California. The Rams essentially had a bye week last week. We know Sean McVay's track record, a healthy Matthew Stafford. I think the game is going to be pretty close. And Minnesota, they were one of the 5 best teams in the league this year, but they were just in the wrong division this season, and now they have to go on the road in the first game of the postseason. We'll obviously give you our reaction to that coming up tomorrow. We might give you a 2-leg parlay. You got your final day of no sweat bets today on FanDuel, so we might end up doing that before the end of the show. I just saw this really quickly, Rob, and I do want to talk about Mike Tomlin. So a coach told CBS Sports that this season, the biggest issue in his locker room was actually not name, image, and likeness. It was also not social media. It was players upset with their college rating on the video game, College Football 25. He even said that he had a couple of players come into his office to discuss his low rating. That's what we need more of in college athletics. I'm happy this is back. Next year, when it's a thing again, we need to get back to players arguing about their ratings. This happens for Madden. This happens for NBA 2K. I'm happy now that college football players, if you don't think your rating is where it should be, get better. Start working harder in the offseason to get your rating where it needs to be. I'm so happy that the college football video game is back.
I'd love to know how that conversation went. It's not like the coach controls the ratings. Hey, coach, my speed rating is not great. What do you want to do about it? I coach college football. I don't run the rating systems for EA Sports. Why are you coming to me
now,
like
hold
this?
On now. This is the thing. You know I love a good relationship analogy. Sometimes your wife has come to you complaining, not because she thinks that you can solve the problem, just because she wants somebody to listen and empathize with her. She doesn't want you to offer up any suggestions. She doesn't want you to say anything. She just wants you to be like, oh, man, that is right. You're right. No, she just wants you to agree for 5 minutes, and then she'll be fine. I'm 19 years old. I'm not completely rational. I want to come in here, and I want to talk to you about why I'm a 78 on this game when I think I should be an 85, and I just want you to listen, coach. That's all I need. I'm all for college players arguing about what their ratings should be. All right, let's talk about Mike Tomlin. We all acknowledge that Mike Tomlin is a phenomenal coach, and Mike Tomlin got off to as hot of a start as any coach has possibly ever gotten into starting an NFL career. In his first 5 seasons, his team won double-digit games in 5 of those years. He won a Super Bowl in his second year and went to and lost the Super Bowl in his 4th season. Early Mike Tomlin was incredible. And then ever since Obama left office, things ain't really been so hot. Since then, since Obama left office, Rob, he has won 3 postseason games. He has not won a postseason game since January of 2017. So we are talking about a long time since they have been that kind of team. This is a very simple question that I have for the Pittsburgh Steelers. What kind of organization do you want to be? What is the goal of what you're trying to accomplish? If you want to live a comfortable life, you can do that. Mike Tomlin is going to give you a comfortable life. You can settle. Some of you have been in a relationship with somebody where it was good. You don't fight with this person. You get along with this person. But deep down, you kind of know that there is something missing and this relationship doesn't have the spice that it needs. But you can stay in this relationship and live a very comfortable life. But some people say, hey, I think there's more to a relationship to this. I want something more. I think there's something greater that's out there. And you leave what is a very comfortable situation in the hope of finding better. That's what I think it's time for Pittsburgh to do. Pittsburgh has won double-digit games in 3 of the last 5 years. Pittsburgh is not bad by any means. They haven't won a playoff game in any of those years. Not just not winning a playoff game, they haven't been close in any of those years. There have been 28 different head coaches that have won a playoff game since Mike Tomlin has. Jacksonville has won 3 postseason games since the last time that Pittsburgh has. Cleveland has won a playoff game more recently. I'm talking about the dregs of the league, the bottom of the bottom. Over the final month of the season, there were 3 teams that didn't win a game. One is Tennessee, who got the number 1 overall pick. Second was Cleveland, who got the number 2 overall pick. And the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's over. I know it's hard to walk away from something that feels comfortable, and right now it feels comfortable with Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin has proven one thing over the last decade. You will not bottom out. You will never be the Indianapolis Colts with Mike Tomlin. You will never be Tennessee. You are never in contention to get the number 1 overall pick if you are them. But you're also not in contention to win the Super Bowl. When was the last time that you legitimately felt like Pittsburgh could win the Super Bowl? It hasn't happened in this decade. I was here. You guys didn't believe in them the COVID year back in 2020 when they got off to that hot start. It always felt fluky. They started 11-0. They ended the season 12-4 and lost their first playoff game. For the last 4 years, there has never been a second in which we have discussed Pittsburgh as being a legitimate contender to Kansas City. So they haven't been that contender in at least 5 years. In 2019, they went 8-8. They went 9-6 in 2018. The Steelers have not been a relevant threat at any point during the Patrick Mahomes era as a starter. If that's not a sign of, hey, maybe this thing isn't working and maybe there's something better out there, sure, it could be worse. Nobody is saying you can't get worse than what Pittsburgh is, but is the goal to just be comfortable and be in contention to be one of the 14 playoff teams, but never in the conversation of being one of the 3 to 5 teams that can actually win it? Because that's where Pittsburgh is right now. Pittsburgh has no chance of winning a Super Bowl. And I think they've given Mike Tomlin a bunch of different ways. They've given him the first-round pick quarterback. They gave him a cheap veteran quarterback. They gave him Justin Fields. It wasn't that long ago you guys thought that Justin Fields should stay in Chicago and they shouldn't draft Caleb Williams. They have given you pieces to, hey, maybe be a little bit dangerous. Win a playoff game. Be what Washington is. Be what Houston's been. Win a couple of playoff games. Be on the right direction. It feels like they're stuck in neutral. That's what it feels like with Pittsburgh. They're stuck in neutral. They feel in a very similar place to where Philadelphia was with Andy Reid. And I know that Andy Reid left Philadelphia and went off and had a lot of success. So have the Eagles. They won the Super Bowl afterward. They've been to another Super Bowl. They're maybe the best team in the NFC this year. It's not like things went terrible for the Eagles after that. I don't know if Philadelphia wins the Super Bowl if Andy Reid is still there. They needed a new voice and a change is what they needed. They needed something new. They needed something different. And then eventually, the coach that got them to that Super Bowl, they needed somebody else new, and they got Nick Sirianni, who has done a decent job in Philadelphia. They got a shot this year to go back and win another Super Bowl. It's just not working with Mike Tomlin anymore. I would trade Mike Tomlin. Would the Cowboys right now trade for Mike Tomlin? Would the Bears trade for Mike Tomlin? I would try to get a first-round pick and start over. You're Pittsburgh. It's not like you wouldn't get a good job. If you're Ben Johnson, would you rather have the Raiders' job or the Steelers' job? You got a great organization, and you got a patient ownership group. They've given Mike Tomlin since 2007. It ain't like Tomlin just got here. Tomlin's been there since Rob was a junior at Blue Valley Northwest. Rob just got married 8 months ago. They've given Mike Tomlin a lot of time to take that next step to look like a Super Bowl contending team, and we all watch the NFL. We watch the AFC. They're not close to Kansas City. They're not close to Buffalo. They're not close to Baltimore. They're not close to Houston. Pittsburgh is the 7th or 8th best team. I ask you right now, would you rather be Denver or Pittsburgh? Pittsburgh doesn't have a quarterback. I'm not really sure if they have the right head coach. Denver's got a little hope. Would you rather be the Chargers or the Steelers? That's kind of what the Chargers are. Chargers, they, you know, they win 10 games, they win 9 games, they lose in the first round of the postseason. We're sitting here making fun of the Chargers. And some people are advocating to give Mike Tomlin an extension. I wouldn't do it anymore. I would move on from Tomlin if I was the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now's time. It's a clean break. You've been here long enough. You move on. You take your first-round pick. You use those assets. You go get your quarterback. You will have the most desirable coaching vacancy that's out there. Go get Ben Johnson to be your next head coach and try something different. Try to find your Doug Peterson like the Eagles did and try to go win a Super Bowl. You are not winning a Super Bowl on the path that they're currently on. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get back to the Kansas City Chiefs. We now know their opponent. They will play the Houston Texans coming up on Saturday at Arrowhead. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.